Good morning, Unionville Alliance Church.
Good morning.
And first of all, happy Mother's Day. And to all of mothers here as well as online. And I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I'm up here. So I'm going to say happy Mother's Day to my wife. And I wish there's a happy wife day. I guess there isn't one because we husbands are supposed to make sure our wives are happy every day. And it's scriptural, it is scriptural, because the fact that in Ephesians, it tells us that husbands are supposed to make sure we love our wives just as Christ loved the church. So with that, let's pray for blessings for our mothers. Father, we thank you for many of us who have experienced your love through our mothers. You say that, can a mother forget her nursing child? And even if that were possible, you would not forget us. We lift up our mothers unto you. May you bless them with love, joy, peace, and good health. We ask that the Spirit be among us at this moment. Grant us the pure hearts to listen, to transform us into loving Christians, and fill us with compassion for our neighbors in need. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, for the longest time, I was struggling about how do I fit my faith into daily living. There seems to be a chasm that I cannot cross, I cannot breach, that I cannot bring my faith somehow into the way that I live. And every week when I come to service, when the pastor preaches, my mind drifts. And I hope that's not the case for all of you here today. And I said to myself, there got to be more than that. There has to be something that I'm missing somehow. And so I remember Jesus said, you know, he's here so that we can have an abundant life. And so if you're here for the past few weeks, you know that we're in a preaching series in the book of James. And today's passage is from chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, and today's title is Faith That Breathes. And the very first verse for today's passage is verse 14, and it says, what good it is, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? I feel exactly the same. I felt that. What good it is if my faith is only by name only. If my faith has nothing to do with every day of my life. So what good it is? What good it is to me or to my friends, to my family, and to my co-workers? That was my challenge. And about 2003, 2004, I attended a men's ministry. And this is not a promotion for men's ministry, but it was so important for me at that juncture of my life. I was struggling, and God knew that I was struggling. And in that meeting, I was fairly small, 7 or 8 of us. And then I was struggling. We were in that discussion out of the blue. And then we were saying that we were asking each other and have this analogy. Are we driving the wheel behind our life every day, or is crisis? You know, have you heard of this song from Carrie Underwood, Jesus Takes the Wheel? That's exactly the analogy that we were talking about. And in that very moment, God gave me a vision. I was the prodigal son. And in that scene, I was not spending money or, you know, hoarding and everything, but I was in the swine pit, feeding the pigs. And there was this overwhelming sense of, I need to go home. And that was the vision I had, and I was struggling with that. And I asked God, why was I the prodigal son feeding the pigs? And why do I have this over sense of that I needed to go home? And he said to me, yeah, you needed to go home. I said, but I've been a Christian by then for over 20 years. So what do you mean by going home? How do I get home? I was not quite happy with that, what God said to me. And he said to me, he said, yes, you have been a Christian for over 20 years, but all you went after were materialistic stuff, perishable stuff. That doesn't last. So you need to go home. And I was quite upset with God. So I said, I challenged God. I said, so what do you mean? How do I go home then? And he said to me, go study in the seminary. I go, oh, no. I graduated from school. I thought I'd never have to go back anymore. So, well, after that, I said, God, are you serious? And he went silent. So I said, okay, let's apply. So in 2004, I applied to Tyndale, and I spent 9 years there studying part-time. And I studied. I chose my major was spiritual formation, and I had a minor in youth and family ministry. And you may ask, why spiritual formation? Well, remember what I said. I said I wanted to apply my faith into my daily life. So it took me 9 years to do that. And that's history. And in verse 17, James continued to emphasize one thing, that if your faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. James is emphasizing that the fact that if your faith does not urge you to act, does not urge you to do something about it, then your faith might as well be dead. That's a huge challenge, because faith, if we understand it, in Jesus, is supposed to change our lives, supposed to change our perspective, our value system. And if it does not, then our faith is not good to us. Our faith is not good to our family or our neighbors. Just like a mother, and today's Mother's Day. When a woman became a mother, it's natural. It's natural for her to nurse the child, to protect with the best of her ability. And same as faith. And if faith is in you, you would act on it. You would change your perspective to follow Christ. Here in Matthew 11:29, it says, take my yoke, Jesus said that, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We need to learn from Jesus. Because Jesus is not only our Savior, as 2 years ago when I was standing here, I mentioned this as well. He is also our rabbi. And when he saw the crowds here in chapter 9, verse 36 from the book of Matthew, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion. The word compassion appears 12 to 14 times, depends on the translation, in the four Gospels. And the word compassion gives us a window into the hearts of God. And we need to learn from Jesus to have compassion on people, to our neighbors, to our family. Here in verse 15 to 16, it says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, 16, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. How are you going to walk away when you see a tremendous need? How are you going to walk away and say to them, go get a job? How are you going to walk away when you see your brother and sisters are in need? How are you going to walk away and just say that I'll pray for you? When you know the Spirit of God is in you, prompting you to help, to assist. In the parable of the virgins, 10 virgins, that talks about the end time. When Jesus was telling us that upon his return, he's going to divide and separate the goat, the sheep from the goats. One's on the left, one on the right. And he would say to the sheep, and he says here in verse 35 of chapter 25, he said, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drinks. I was stranger, and you watched me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the characters or attributes of being a faithful Christian, to be the sheep of Jesus, that you would clothe people who are in need. You will have the compassion of God in you, and it will force you and urge you to act just like a mother. A mother would nurse her child, would nurse and protect her child. And when she sees that the child is hungry, she would feed the child. And when the mother sees that the child is thirsty, it will give them water and milk. One of the last courses I took at Tyndale was a course named Youth at Risk. And I was so fascinated with it that I wanted to see why the youth were so rebellious. Why were they at risk? Why did they run away from home? I want to have that kind of understanding. And this is a very unusual course. One of the mandate was that we had to take a street walk in downtown Toronto. And if you can see the Google map now on the screen, this is happened on a mid-October night. The weather started to get chill. And then every two of us come together and walk this whole journey of, it didn't have an exact map or a path that we took. But one of the mindset the professor asked us to have is to have a mindset of a 15 years old. As we walked downtown, ran away from home, ended up in downtown Toronto, and what would happen to you? And on that night, I walked 14 kilometers from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. and continue on for debrief. And I didn't get home until 2 a.m. And with that mindset, I walked that journey. And one really good thing out of it was I lost 2 pounds. But other than that, with that mindset, walking through downtown Toronto, as a 15 years old, I was struggling. It was cold. I didn't have any money, I said to myself. So what did I do? I started walking toward the east and around Jarvis and Gerard. I saw this beautiful church, as you can see there on the screen. Beautiful church. I said, now I know someone's going to help me. And as I get close, the church was closed. And there's no one there. And the gate, it was in fact gated. And there's a billboard said, at a certain time they're going to do their Sunday service, and at a certain time they have fellowship. But I was, as a 15 years old, I was very disappointed because I thought the church could have helped me, but no one was there to help me. I felt the church didn't care. I felt that no one cared as a 15 years old. I was scared. I didn't know what am I going to do. Where am I going to find food? Where am I going to find shelter? Where am I going to make money? And I continue to walk this journey. Oops, let's go back. And I continue to walk this journey, and I struggle. And throughout this course, one thing I learned was that not to prejudge a lot of people, especially young people. What we see manifested on the street were some of the things that could happen to any one of us. Some happen because they ended up on the street, not because of their own doing. Well, there are some, but a lot of young people, they grew up in a broken home. And I learned one thing from the course was that many of these young youth first experience homeless before they experience houseless. I say it again. First, they begin to experience homelessness before they begin to experience houselessness. That's what happened to some of them. Here in the Sermon of the Mount, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And last week, in the passage just before today's passage in verse 13, in James 2, 13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. One thing that we do know is that, or sometimes we confuse over mercy and grace. But one thing that the Bible is not excluded to saying that there shouldn't be any judgment. Because of the fact that if we exclude judgment, then we cannot even define mercy and grace. So what is judgment? Judgment is getting exactly what we deserve. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. So such as our punishment from God because of our sin. And what is grace? Grace is getting what we do not deserve. It's exactly what the salvation that we receive. So there's the mercy and grace, but here in James chapter 2, 13, it said it very clearly. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So we need to have the mercy of heart. We need to see the compassion of God. For over 30 years, plus years, UAC has this master pantry where we assist those who are in need in our community. And thanks to Nancy Wilson and many of the volunteers, we are able to help a lot of our people in our community. And I urge you to have this compassion of God in you, to practice your faith, to see the needs of our neighbor, and volunteer, and join, if you have not done so already or you not have that experience before. In fact, the Master Pantry has an orientation coming up on May 31st, right after the service. I urge you to participate. And also, UAC is also partnering with Toronto Alliance Church in downtown Toronto, giving out soup and sandwiches. Every other month we do that. And if you have not done so, I also urge you to participate. This is your window. If you have not done so before, you've never done something like this before, participate by showing your faith through compassion of God. And it's in 2 weeks ago, Dean Billings from Compassion Canada said something that resonates with me. When things are out of sight, then it's out of your mind. So participate. I will even encourage you to do street walk on a Saturday when you're not, you know, when you're off work. Go to downtown Toronto. When you see a homeless person sitting on the street, look them in the eye instead of turning your head around. Bring a sandwich, bring a drink, bring a Tim card for coffee or food. Bring a pair of socks along with you. Go and look them in the eyes and pray for them. And pray for them. Then you will see God change you from within. The Spirit of God will change you and transform you to practice your faith through His love in you. Here in James verse 18 to 20 for today's passage, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. James, what James is saying here is there's no such things. Don't be silly, in fact. You cannot separate the two. You cannot segregate them. When you have faith, you will naturally be urged to act. You cannot simply say that I have faith and everything's stuck in my head. And then I have work. That's all I do. I have no faith. That's not what James here in this passage said. You cannot do that. Even the fallen angels, the demons, know, have the same understanding that there's one God. But what do? They frighten tremendously. And what do? We need to act. We need to have this compassion of God to care for the people around us. I want to confront this verse and make it clarify this verse right away. Because verse 24 is a little bit of a controversy. Verse 24, it says that you see the person is justified by works and not by faith alone. It seems so different than what we've learned since we came to church. The church has been saying that our faith, our salvation is by faith alone. Here in Romans chapter 3, 28, Paul is saying that for we hold the one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. There is no contradictions here. This is not what James is saying that, because what James is saying is that when you have faith in Jesus, you will naturally have action, have deeds You will act upon it, and you would have compassion for the people who are in need. Here in Romans, Paul is saying that you are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. What he's saying is the ceremonial law, such as circumcisions, such as dietary restrictions. So it has no contradiction here. And when you read scripture, you have to read it contextually. You cannot just pick a verse without understanding it. So today, once we read James from 14 to 26, we know this is what James is saying. James is saying that when you have faith in Jesus, you will naturally, you cannot avoid it, to have actions, to have deeds to come along with it. Here in verse 21 to 23, talks about Abraham, how he is justified and called the friends of God because of his actions. And from 25 to verse 25, it says, it talks about Rahab. She too have actions to prove that her faith is strong by hiding the messenger and direct them to the right path. Here, as an analysis, when we can say, we ask, at the time when I look at these few verses, I said to myself, why Abraham and why Rahab? And then I come to this chart for such analysis, and I think that's really good. Abraham is a male. In a patriarch world, then the male is dominating. And then to the other end is the Rahab, where she was a prostitute. And as an outsider, she was a Gentile. And Abraham, being an upright person, a Jew, yet Rahab is on the other end of the spectrum. Because of his faith, Abraham offered his son Isaac on the altar. You know, when God promised Abraham, through his descendant will be like so many stars in the sky at night. But that's his son. And he was told by God to offer his son. Although he didn't understand, but because he trusted God, he acted upon it. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have Rahab risking her life. Even though as an outsider, she trusted God as well. And still those two, their own actions. Doesn't matter whether what kind of social status you have, whether you have money or not, and what kind of profession for that matter. Both were justified and be inclusive. And we have to ask ourselves, what do we do? How do we integrate our faith into our life? In verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, and so faith apart from works is dead. Verse 26, somehow, normally we would associate body with work and faith with spirit. James seems to flip that a little bit around. And N.T. Wright said that flipping or that association, that mapping is on purpose. Because if the body without the spirit is like a lifeless corpse, and just like faith without works, it's dead. Dead religion. Your faith is dead. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe in Jesus? If we do believe in Jesus, what will our deeds be? Where is our compassion? Tim Huff, a youth street worker, for over 25 years, working downtown Toronto. And in his book, Bent Hope, he documents some of the runaway youth landed in downtown Toronto. One of the stories that really made an impact on me was the story of Amy. One day he found her from a distance. She was sitting in the side street of Chinatown, Toronto. And he saw her, but she'd never seen her before. So he decided to go and pay her a visit, get to know her. And on his way to approach her, he suddenly saw four university students were drunk, wearing varsity jackets. They surrounded her and began to tease her and nudge her with their knees. And then Tim saw that, and he started to rush over. And then he's about halfway there. He saw the unthinkable happen. One of them began to urinate on her. And Tim saw that, and he ran straight as fast as he could. He went over there. He couldn't understand why anyone would do something like that to an innocent 15 years old. Her name was Amy. And he pushed them. Vanity were exchanged. Punches were thrown until those four left. And as one of the boys urinated on her, she slouched, moved forward a little bit so that urine would not sting her eyes. And after that, all the commotion, Tim didn't know what to say. All he saw was that this young girl, 15 years old, and then he also saw there were deep scars on her right arm. Some were so deep, he knew that it was a miracle for her to still be around. Cuts were like tracks on her arms. Some were as long as from her elbow all the way to her thumb. We didn't know. He said, I didn't know what happened to her. I don't know what her background was. But she has a very gentle demeanor. And he ran out of words to say because of such a horrific episode that she had to endure. And afterwards, she was trying to wipe her face with her clothes, with her sleeve. And then she smiled, trying to comfort Tim, and said, it's okay. That's okay. Brothers and sisters, we don't know. There are so many tragedies here that requires us to have this compassion heart. We don't know what happened to Amy or what led her to become homeless sitting in Chinatown. But all we know is that God's heart is also broken. And we need to be angels and ambassadors for Christ, to console, to help, to have compassion for someone like Amy. And in the rest of the books, Tim Huff talks about some of these young youth, what they had to endure at home. Some were raped, some were locked in the basement. We just don't know. And what we need to know is, with this compassionate heart, let us practice our faith through the compassion that we need to have.